Hi, everybody. Hal Eisner here. Welcome again to another episode of What the Hal. Let's stop for a second. I want you to listen. Listen to that music. Don't you like that theme song of ours? Listen. Yeah. It's got a nice feel to it and really sets off our show well, I think. And this show in particular is about people and about experiences. Yeah, you probably heard of Easter Seals before, but how much do you know about that organization? How much do you know about the people behind Easter Seals? Well, that's our subject this episode, and here are a few. Let me have you identify yourselves.
Mark Whitley, CEO of Easter Seals Southern California.
I'm Laura Glassman, and a participant in the Easter Seals Southern California.
Shelley Ginsburg Brown, Director of Digital Marketing, Easter Seals Southern California.
And Howard?
Howard McBloom, Advocate for Easter Seals and Choir of the Lantaman Regional Center.
Howard and Laura are both participants and have gotten the services of Easter Seals for a long time. And how important has that been for you, Laura?
Very important. They have supported me since I was in college, and it's been a wonderful experience being out in the community teaching people about Easter Seals, even when they don't want to.
You know, one of the things, Mark, is a lot of people don't know what Easter Seals is all about. You've been around 100 years. This is your 100th anniversary in April. And I know that you've got a public service announcement you put out that sort of says what you do, and it's important to celebrate, not separate people, that people who have special disabilities should be treated just like anybody else and not treated differently as if they're separate and not part of the inclusion. But why do you think it is that Easter Seals has not really been able to identify itself over 100 years as being like the Arthritis Foundation, like the Cancer Society? You know, what do you think that is?
Well, Easter Seals, as you know, has been around for a long time, and we really have a huge impact in the community.
It started with Easter Seals. You actually made little seals, didn't you?
Yeah, back in the 50s, there was a fundraising campaign around the seals, and that's how the name changed to the Easter Seals organization.
What was it before that?
It was the National Society for Crippled Children and Adults.
And that's the part that's missing when you have a word like Easter Seals, right? Because we understand crippled children. We don't understand Easter Seals saying something about those children, shall we?
Well, you know, I think Easter Seals is something where people at some level know about it historically. They remember having to do with the seals, with the calendars. There's lots of the telethon. And now it's just really a matter of pulling that focus again. Times have changed, and we have a new way of looking at everything with social media, and it's about getting out there again, which we are doing.
And I would throw one little caveat in there that, you know, people don't all know what Easter Seals was. You've got a whole society of millennials and others who really don't know the history. They really don't understand what it is this organization has done, what this organization's history is all about. And maybe that's why this public service announcement is so important.
Well, the public service announcement and all of the other work that we're doing in the community to help educate people and make
people
aware.
What's the other work that you're doing?
You know, we have a campaign that just is wrapping up here in 2018, the Celebrate, Don't Separate campaign. You know, huge, huge multimedia. Laura was actually featured in that campaign. There's a wonderful video that folks may want to take a look at if they go to celebratedontseparate.org. You learn more about Easter Seals, but also about changing the way people think about disabilities. So yeah, Easter Seals is focused on services, but we're also focused on helping people have a better understanding about disability. And as Laura talks about, you know, celebrate, don't separate.
Just for clarification, this is a 2019 campaign or a 2018?
This
campaign?
Is a campaign that we just wrapped up this
because
last
this spot,
month.
This spot is new, right? This and, PSA?
Right. And so the new campaign is this spot, plus we're launching a multimedia We Celebrate campaign about the 100th anniversary that will also build on this new PSA.
Laura, talk about that notion of celebrate, don't separate.
Well, what do you want to know specifically about it?
Why do you think it's important?
It's important because we need to, well, first of all, celebrate that we're different, but the same at the same time. It's important that other people learn that people with disabilities are the way they are. I can't stress enough how we're different but the same.
You know, you're wearing a T-shirt that says "Celebrate, don't separate."
That's correct. Yeah.
And since this is a podcast and not television, the "Celebrate" is written in orange. The "Don't Separate" is written in white. How? I'm just going to ask this. You can tell me if I'm wrong or not. I'm assuming that you've had some experiences of being discriminated against.
Yes, I have.
Can you share some of that?
Yeah. People in school when I was younger. Well, let's start with this. When I was very young, when you're in elementary school, everybody loves you. You're kids, you want to share each other. Everybody wanted to push my wheelchair. I'm like, I don't want certain people pushing my wheelchair. And they're like, no, Lori, you have to share. You have to do this. I'm like, fine. Then as you get older, people change. And the kids did not want to be around me anymore. I was different than them. I couldn't run and play with them like they wanted to do. And so when I was in sixth grade, there was two people that I thought were my friends, and they took me on the playground and they spun my chair with me in it. And I was crying, of course. I was not happy. All the school could do was have them write a letter of apology. I'm like, what about my emotional damage that you did to me as a child? I mean, it wasn't too damaging.
Well, you were traumatized, right?
Yeah.
Because that being spun around and you can't get out of that chair and go run away.
Exactly.
You're stuck.
Yeah. And that's what, I don't even know how to describe that. Like, when I was in high school, I noticed that other people didn't want to be around me because I was different. And it's like, I'm not different. You need to treat me as I treat you.
You know, this is interesting because we hear about bullying. This is kind of the opposite in a way, but it's also kind of bullying, too. First of all, being left alone because people don't want to deal with you is isolating.
Hard.
But then when people do things like spinning your wheelchair around, in a way, that's kind of bullying, isn't
yeah.
it? They're really trying to push your buttons.
Yeah.
And that hurts.
Oh, it did. And in college, too, it's like I try to include myself in a conversation, and they'd say, like, one or two things and then ignore me. And I'm like, I've known you for how long, and you're ignoring me? Why?
Have you ever gone eye to eye with a friend like that and said that like that? And if so, what did they say back to you?
I think I've confronted one of my friends, like, hey, why didn't you include me? Well, she was like, well, why didn't you try enough to include yourself? I was like, you're one of my friends. You should speak up, too. If I'm trying to include myself and I'm not getting across enough and I'm trying and trying and trying, you're my friend. Speak up for me. I know that's I want to be heard my own way, but as a friend, you shouldn't be doing that.
That's painful. Howard, have you had any instances like that?
Most definitely. When I was in high school, I was bullied almost to a point of suicide. And what saved my life, literally, was becoming a manager on the high school basketball team of a Jeffersonville High School Red Devil.
Okay, wait a minute. Hold on a second. You became the manager of a basketball team?
Well, one of the team managers.
Well, I was, too.
Ah.
In college, I did that, and I gave the salt tablets to the players. Did you do that?
Yeah.
And the towels and all
yeah.
that? Yeah.
Yes.
Was your team a winner?
Well, we came in, we made it all the way to the state final in 1972, and we walked in double overtime to the state champion, Connerville.
Sounds like that was kind of fun, huh?
Yeah, but hey, we made it to the state finals, and that stopped the bullying. And then I graduated with a 3.5 GPA, went on to Indiana University, and graduated with a BA degree in history, and then came out here.
What's your favorite thing in history? Is it American history or is
American and European history?
And European history.
Yes.
Well, in American history, I'm just kidding, this is a side, but I'm just curious, what is it about American history that draws your attention?
What draws my attention about history in general is that if you want to learn about the future, you have to study the past.
That is really true.
Yeah.
And so let's use that idea, Howard. In order to understand the future, you have to understand the past. How have you applied that sort of a thought to Easter Seals?
We're really involving individuals that have a disability, people like Laura and Howard, and they're advocates now for Easter Seals. Howard has been to Baltimore, Sacramento. Laura's been involved. So I think we're trying to involve people with disabilities more in advocating for themselves. Such strong messages. And as you know from meeting Laura and Howard, they're just great spokespersons, not just for Easter Seals, but for people with disabilities.
Well, I would say they're just great persons.
Yep. May I interrupt?
Yeah, please.
Because there's something that I just thought about with what Mark said, that you are advocating before us, but you want us to now advocate for ourselves and show people that this is us. Somebody else can look at us and be like, oh, they can do this and this. They don't understand the challenges that we go through.
I think it's hard to walk in your shoes.
Well,
that's a metaphor, it's hard to ride in your
shoes.
Wheelchair.
Yeah.
But Shelley, there's a big social media effort here. You're involved in that, is that right?
That is one of the things we do. Yes.
Talk to me about it.
Well, we're trying to amplify these messages and make people aware, as you've said, Easter Seals. There's a new generation that may not be as familiar with Easter Seals, and it's important for them to understand Easter Seals was one of the key organizations that helped create the Americans with Disabilities Act and get it signed into law. And that is so critical to so many things that are happening today in terms of inclusion, in terms of being able to include more people with disabilities in everyday life in the communities. And we are trying as much as we can to get that out there on the social channels so that younger generations can understand what's happened and what still needs to happen today.
Well, let's talk about that. What needs to happen today, Mark?
Well, we need to, from an Easter Seal standpoint, we need to continue expanding services so people have the services they need, meeting their needs, and at the same time changing public perception about disability. And that on Laura's shirt, the line at the bottom is change the way you see disability. And that's really the emphasis of what we're trying to do to really create that greater acceptance and appreciation for people.
One of the things I'm missing here is what are the services you provide?
Yeah, Easter Seals Southern California, we're the largest disability service organization in Southern California. We have five key mission critical service areas: autism therapy, adult day services, employment, housing, as well as child development centers. And with those services, we're impacting and really working every week with over 13,000 individuals here in LA, but also throughout Southern California.
Your funding comes how?
Yeah, the funding is from government funding as well as health insurance, federal funding, and in addition to fundraising.
And so things are going well on that front?
Going very well. I think as people are learning more about Easter Seals, as they're seeing us in the community more, I think the fundraising is really is improving. Our corporate sponsors like Century 21 and CVS and others are really doing a great job for us. We're doing better with individual giving and major giving. Our special events, Strides for Disability, was our best ever this last year. So I think it is the community responding to just this greater interest I think we're seeing in disability and disability inclusion, and folks are really responding to that.
Why has this been needed? That sounds like a dumb question, and I'm good with those, by the way. But you know, why is it that this is in 2019 being addressed? Why wasn't this addressed many years ago? Shelley, you want to try that one?
Well, I mean, it has been Easter Seals has been working all these years to bring about more inclusion and involve more people in the community. Really, we have always been a boots on the ground working organization. We've been about getting the work done, serving those who need in the community. And now, though, we're at a point where you need to, in order to constantly generate awareness, get that bigger profile, especially in a market like Southern California, where there are so many great organizations, and being a top of mind amongst them takes a little extra effort. And, you know, on the marketing side, that means having a wonderful, wonderful Rose Parade float, which has generated so much wonderful, positive response on social media. We're seeing tons of people who are just so pleased to see it, to remember Easter seals, to recall Easter, or learn about it. My neighbor downstairs said, you know, there's three guys sitting in this room when they watched the parade. They didn't know, and now they know about Easter seals.
Isn't that interesting, though? That was the point I was trying to make, that there are people that just simply, Easter seal sounds like something you do for Easter. Yeah, that's what conjures up in my mind, when we, you know?
And the truth is, when we talked about the Easter seals, when we were looking at brightening up and refreshing our look and our feel, whether or not Easter seals still served us. I mean, the fact of the matter is there are so many people out there who remember and know about Easter seals, think fondly about what everything Easter seals used to represent and still does represent to them. And to go with something else didn't make sense, because people who do know about us feel very strongly about Easter seals.
Yeah, that may be true. I mean, you know, I think in anything, it's good to reinvent yourself. I'm constantly reinventing myself. Sometimes I want to be hip. You know what I mean, Howard?
Yeah.
I want to be hip. The problem with that is my son tells me that hip isn't a hip word anymore, Dad. But you do reinvent yourself to try to be fresh, to try to appeal to society as it is now. And society as it is now is not like it used to be when we were growing up. I would say, having three millennials myself, that the millennial way of thinking is very different than the way we grew up thinking, our next generations grew up thinking. Do millennials contribute? Do they?
Yes.
Do they help?
Millennials contribute. They contribute their time and also their money.
And you see a lot of money coming in from millennials?
We get contributions from millennials along with all generations, really.
And so when you talk about the services that you provide, and you provide them for the young and you provide them for the old, the most important thing that people should really understand about what it is you do is what?
Easter Seals is the largest provider of services. It's what people really count on if you have a disability, and folks,
and they're going to be referred to you,
and folks now respond to us more and more because of things like the Rose Parade, which, you know, again, it's promoting Easter Seals, it's promoting our 100 year anniversary, but it's also promoting inclusion. There was a line on the side of the float: building a more inclusive future. And for those listening to your podcast that saw the parade, they saw a 24 foot cake with stylized people with and without disabilities, and 12 wonderful, energetic individuals who either have a disability and are supported by Easter Seals, or a service provider, because that's what it really was about.
It's including
about
Laura
and
Howard.
Yeah, and Laura and
they
Howard
were on the float.
And the rest, they just did a terrific job. People really responded to their enthusiasm. It really was a wonderful day for Easter Seals and for people with disabilities.
Howard, how would you describe that experience of being on the Rose Parade float?
That was the experience of a lifetime. It was overwhelming riding on that float, seeing all those thousands and hundreds of thousands of people cheering for us. Showing us on that we rolled down Colorado Boulevard, and it was something I would not have missed for the world, and it was an honor and a privilege to have done it, because I see my mission at one to speak out for those people who can speak out for themselves. And when I do things like ride on the float, I feel like I'm doing that.
Was it heartwarming?
Yes.
Talk to me about that for a second.
Well, it just felt so good, you know, to be out there showing people that we can do things. And there are, you know, things that I might have trouble with, like I'm motor coordination impaired and hearing impaired, and I have difficulty understanding sometimes what is going on in certain kinds of social situations. But I can also do many other things, too. I am very good at public speaking. I have a degree in history, and I study it. And I feel that I can contribute to society in many ways that, you know, other people might not. despite the fact that I might have difficulty in some areas.
You know, we have a lot in common. I'm pretty good at public speaking, too.
I'm glad to hear that, Hal. We need more people like you.
Thank you. Let me just sort of go around the table one time here. And the birthday is in April. And so one of the things that I would like to do before we actually get a final thought at some point here, I would like to understand, when you look at 10 decades of an organization, that's a lot of time. How do you, Shelley, sum up sort of 10 decades? This is not a trick question. It's pretty straightforward. How do you sum up sort of the 10 decades of this organization? It went from the Crippled Children's Society. Was it anything before that?
No.
Okay. And it became the Easter Seals, but it always had the same mission. And it started, I don't even know the history of how it started. Maybe one of you guys can share that with me. Do you know that, Shelley?
Yes.
Okay, how did it start?
It started in Ohio. A businessman named Edgar Allan.
Edgar Allan Poe?
No.
Oh, what the hell? Come on.
No. Edgar Allan, his son was in an accident with a trolley car, and he discovered through that, unfortunately passed away, but he discovered through that the lack of emergency services, hospital services in the area. And as a businessman, he decided he wanted to do something. So he started to raise funds and do advocacy and build up what would ultimately become the Easter Seals organization.
And this is in?
This is actually in Ohio.
In 1919. Because it's been 100 years.
It has been 100 years.
I'm pretty good with math, aren't I?
Yes, you were very good with math.
Thank you very much. John, you want to add to that, Mark?
Just that Edgar Allan was very good friends with Paul Harris. And Paul Harris was the founder of Rotary. And it's really their collaboration and Rotary clubs throughout America that really made it possible for Easter Seals to expand and open really in all communities throughout the country.
Well, I do want to sort of give you a final thought, but it does strike me, because I don't really have the opportunity that often to sit down and talk with people in the situation that you, Laura, and Howard are in. But the stories you've told today about the play yard and being bullied and having your wheelchair spun around and the pain that you suffered as a result of that, that still is with you because you still remember it like it was probably yesterday, right?
Yeah.
And Howard, the way you were treated and bullied, but by being a successful manager of a basketball team, you were able to rise above it, and people were able to have some level of respect, which is what you wanted. So when we talk about things like respect, let me just let that be the final thought, and let me let Howard start, and we'll go around the table.
Respect, yeah. We all need to be respected for who we are, and we need to cultivate compassion, because I feel that compassion and respect go hand in hand. And if we are to survive, we must become a more compassionate society. And one way to become a more compassionate society is to respect people who are different.
Mark?
Well, really respecting people that are different. Howard, you're exactly right. I mean, that really is what Easter Seals is about, and really what we encourage the community through campaigns like Celebrate, Don't Separate, the new campaign We Celebrate that's coming up. It really is encouraging folks to respect and to appreciate each other.
You know, Laura, that respect versus lack of respect. You were getting the lack of respect, weren't you?
In a way, yes. And how do we follow up with Howard and Mark? How do I follow up on you guys? You said everything that needed to be said.
Well, I think maybe from the talking points they probably did, but from the personal feelings in your heart of hearts.
Yeah. Well, respecting also, kids need to learn at a young age that we're all different and we're the same, as I keep saying over and over again. And I will keep saying it for the end of time, as long as I live.
Let me just jump in there real quick. Kids are kids. It doesn't matter whether they were born in 1919, 1960, 2000, 2010. Kids are kids. And kids come out being nice and pure, like everybody says, but then they change, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where their attitudes and their ideas are formed. How do we change that?
Education in schools. my mom has actually said this, that the teacher, well, actually the parents should really should start with the parents, teaching that everybody is the same, equal, not, should be not treated any differently. And education in school is a big thing. Kind of like, as I said, I was bullied. And bullying is very big in this world. And we shouldn't be bullied. I know that's easier said than done. But education,
you're right,
is,
but I mean, I agree with you.
Yeah, education is very important.
It is important.
Yeah.
And so is teaching people that everybody's got their own thing.
Yeah.
Nobody's been spared some problem. Everybody's got some issue.
Everybody does.
And so, you know, whether it's a wheelchair you're confined to, whether it's some other issue that you have to deal with, you know, we all are humans. We've talked about that. We're all individuals that have our own individual issues. And sometimes people that bully have issues too.
Maybe
that's why they bully.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
I was just going to say that.
Yeah. Shelley?
It just reminded me of a story. We have two participants out in Orange County who work for the office, an office out there. And the owner, I was talking to the owner for a story we were doing at one point. He was talking about the impact that them being involved in the office had on everyone at the office. The having that inclusion in their office, the difference it made to everyone in terms of tolerance and patience and understanding and all of those things. So I think the overriding message is if we get more inclusion, we learn more respect for our fellow human beings. And I think most people could agree right now that it would be wonderful to spread far and wide across the nation, across the world. So changing the way we view disability can also be changing the way we view everyone.
I think that's probably true, Laura.
I was just going to say, I wanted to jump in. I go to a camp every year, Easter Seals YMCA Camp Oaks. And I see, when I went there my first time, I didn't want to go. I was like, no, I don't want to go. Mom, please don't make me. No, they made me go. And I learned after that week that I loved everyone there. It's all about love, all about inclusion. And I learned that we learn from each other. I learned from you today. I learned from Mark every time I see him.
What did I teach you?
That's a good question.
Yeah, thank you. Obviously, it wasn't memorable, was it?
No, they teach me a lot. Like, I learned stuff about Easter sales that I did not know about until now. And I didn't know how the program got started, didn't know anything about that. But by talking to people, like, before the Rose Parade, Mark and I were talking at the dinner that we had, and I didn't know stuff about him that, you know, I didn't know anything about you, like, personally. Not going to share that now.
Oh, go ahead. Come on.
No.
Here, speak into my lapel.
No. Sorry, Mark.
No, you're fine.
Like a family.
But yeah, we're like a family. Yeah, so it's like you learn something about people every day.
So
and
here's here's what I want to say to that. We learn every day. A day we don't learn something is probably not a great day.
Yeah. I heard something that the day you stop learning is the day you die.
Well, that's another way to put it. Right, Shelley?
Yeah, that's true.
Sorry,
that's
true.
There's one other thing I think we should probably give credit that we are also working. Obviously, the best way, in addition to the social media, is movies and TVs to depict those with disabilities. And we've been working with the Hollywood community to make sure that disability is portrayed. We work with Variety, and we've worked with other entities on a campaign. And we have a disability film challenge, which encourages filmmakers to make short films that will help change the way people view disability. So all of these things that we're working on are not only pulling from our legacy and the things we've done before, but trying to increase awareness, as you're saying, and bringing that legacy forward to the next 100 years, so that those people who haven't, you say, don't know about Easter Seals, they say maybe don't think about disability as often as they could or maybe should, will have that reference in front of them more often, and those people who have disabilities can see themselves as everyone wants to see themselves, not only online, but in the movies, on TV, and that's one of the most important things also, is that you can recognize yourself when you're looking at a different film.
I want to jump in on that.
Go ahead.
Stereotype. We're stereotyped. Some people are stereotyped. Like, I'm in a chair. Some people who are also in chairs think that I'm paralyzed like them. And I'm like, no, I'm not paralyzed. I can move my legs. I'm really sensitive all over my body. People think, oh, you can't feel this. You can't feel that. Or, oh, you're too sensitive. I don't want to break you. It's like, no, you're not going to break me. But I feel like we need to stop stereotyping, or at least try stopping it, because I get that a lot. Oh, you're paralyzed. No, I can bear weight. I can feel. Don't touch me like that, please, because I can feel. I can feel your pressure on my shoulder. Also,
is it oversensitive?
Yes.
All right, oversensitive.
I just thought about this, too. People don't see, or I shouldn't say people in general, but most people don't think about a wheelchair as my property. It's mine. So they'll lean their arm on my chair, and I'm like, what are you doing? That's mine. Please don't do that.
Of course, respect.
It's respect. Yeah, it all comes back to respect.
So there are three words that seem to be the overarching words here, and I want us all to say them together, okay? We know what those words are, right? Howard, you know the words? Celebrate, don't separate?
Celebrate, don't
separate. Okay, so I want us all to say that together. You ready? Okay, here we go. 3, 2, 1.
Celebrate. Don't separate.
Did you all say that along with them? I hope you did. Great words. Look, I've got a couple of words, too. Please subscribe. You know what that means. Subscribe to our podcast. You can do it on any of the platforms. Give us a few stars if you like what we do. And thanks for listening. We'll see you next time. What the hell?